Our hemisphere has recently experienced in terrible, terrible crises. Three hurricanes, powerful ones, a fourth one going on today. Earthquake, Mexico City. It's terrible massacre in Las Vegas. Just seems like we're getting hammered. You kind of feel it, you know, people are kind of like down about it, you know what I mean? It's like just oppressive. The loss in property is off the charts. I mean, we'll never see the amount of money that it's going to take to rebuild these places that have been destroyed. I mean, it's just so much. And the shattered lives, you know, people are really going through tough times. Loss, brokenness. It'll take decades for some people to recover. And truthfully, some with the losses they've endured in terms of life, family members, they'll never recover fully, will they? On the small island of Dominica, which was decimated by Hurricane Maria, which was really bad. The people were truly in shock at what they've lost. Parts of Puerto Rico, the same. The Virgin Islands. 175-mile-an-hour winds. Can you imagine that? I mean, most of us, 60-mile-an-hour winds, you feel like the house is going to blow down, right? 175-mile-an-hour winds. People describe the sound as a demented animal. A demented animal. And you know, in some of these places, slow help. The remote. People aren't getting things. Things they really need, like water and food and shelter. Well, one woman told the BBC on this island of Dominica, "I cry. I laugh. I scream. I'm angry. I'm traumatized." Yeah, I get that. How about you? Grown men, tough guys, break down and cry at the things they've lost, at the overwhelming task of trying to find their lives again. Wreckage everywhere. And there's literal wreckage and that kind of metaphorical spiritual wreckage, like all the people that died in Vegas, you know. Somewhere under the rubble there in Dominica, 75-year-old Ashton Thomas knows his wife's body lying under the rubble. Imagine. He survived. She didn't. His wife's name was Lucy. And he was hanging on to Lucy with all his strength. But he lost his grasp as the ocean crashed through their home. Buried Lucy under the rubble. He's tortured. He said, "If I could have just held on, she still would be alive." It's awful. Troubled hearts. Deeply troubled hearts. In Texas, Louisiana, Florida, Carolinas, Caribbean, Mexico. Las Vegas. And we haven't even talked about the fires in the Northwest. That would be a story all by itself, but it's pushed aside because of all these other stories. What can we say to such destruction and to such awful pain and loss? What can bring peace to troubled hearts? As Jesus was preparing his disciples to face the stark realities of what was about to come, he would be betrayed by one of his inner 12. Their most outgoing and forward rock, Peter, would deny that he knew him 3 times. They would all run away when Jesus was arrested, and only John would have enough courage to be present at the cross. And then Jesus would suffer the indignities of being tortured, stripped, mocked, hung on a cross after being beaten with 39 lashes to die. Jesus predicted these things would happen. And then he gave words of comfort, something to quiet their troubled hearts. John 14, 1-3. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. What we experience on this earth is not the end. When we are in Christ, there is no end. Life improves on the other side. Troubled hearts are calmed by trust in God and in Jesus. Crises come. I'm feeling it right now. All these things that I just described, got a lot of people going through some deep water physically, some issues. I mean, frankly, I haven't really had a day off in a long time. I was at Hershey yesterday. I'll be at Holy Spirit this afternoon. Have losses I haven't had a chance to grieve. I was saying to Susan, I've had 7 funerals since February. Done 7 funerals since February. Stuff happens. Crises come. Accidents, brokenness. Disease ravages our loved ones and ourselves. People we care about die. And if you just kind of get the cumulative power of it with all the stuff that's going on in the country, you just kind of feel troubled. Do you feel troubled? Yeah. It's troubling. People are hurting. And one way or another, we're all going to die. We always act surprised when it happens, but hey, it's pretty clear. The days are clicking forward, right? And it's going to come for us all. But Jesus says, I give you peace. Death is a doorway to glory. We'll not be left to face a hopeless fate alone. The Lord will never leave us. The Lord will never forsake us. The Lord will walk with us. The Lord will hold our hand. And the Lord has prepared a place for us and a way for us. So when we keep our faith, our trust in God and in Jesus, the best is yet to be. Sometimes you get the feeling, and I do it sometimes, you know, my best days are behind me. I don't care how old you are. If Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord, the best is always yet to be. The not best days are not behind you. They're yet to be. Randy Alcorn said, the day I die will be the best day I've ever lived. Do you believe that? Because we act like we don't, right? We avoid death like crazy. We'll do anything, pay any price, go through any treatment so as not to face what would be our best day. The best day. Folks, heaven is real. Jesus tells us so. Heaven is real. Speaks of his Father's house. That term often refers to the temple in Jerusalem, the Father's house. Remember, he said, Father's house should be a place of prayer, not a den of thieves. The Father's house was a literal place on the Temple Mount. It was a place where heaven and earth met in the Holy of Holies. It was a place where somehow that which is here on this earth met the heavenlies. Holiest place on earth. But now that place is a person, Jesus Christ. And the Bible speaks of a new heaven and a new earth. When we think of the Father's house, we're no longer thinking of a temple that dwells on a mountain, but we're thinking of a glorious heavenly temple that is indescribable. It's the eternal Father's house. Revelation 21, 1-5. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. It's all changing, okay? And there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. And they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. These words are trustworthy and true. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. If not so, I would have told you. These words are trustworthy and true. There is a reality beyond this reality. There is a reality that transcends this earth. Heaven and earth joined at the temple. Now when we leave this world, we join Christ in heavenly glory. Revelation 22, 1-5 adds, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of a city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No sickness, always healed. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face. His name will be on their foreheads, very forefront of their minds. There'll be no more night. They'll not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light. And they will reign forever and ever. And they will reign forever and ever. Yes, crises come. Yes, tragedies come. Yes, there are accidents. Yes, there are losses. Yes, it's burdensome sometimes when we look at all the things that are happening. But the best is yet to be. And we're going to be in the presence of God in a place that is uniquely prepared for us. And so God says, peace. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Peace. Heaven's not just wishful thinking. Heaven's not some fairy tale. Jesus spoke of heaven as a real place, my Father's house, God's throne. the dwelling place of the one who is infinite in creativity, in love, in goodness, beauty, and power. And we will see God, and we will be with God, and we will serve God, and we will reign with God. Reign over what? I do not know. It's always an interesting question for me. I just step aside here for a moment and speculate. Going to be in heaven, going to be glorious. Paul Bilheimer has this wonderful little book called Destined for the Throne. Make you think. God is preparing a place for us. God is saying we're going to reign with him. But there won't be any more evil. There won't be any more things that really need to be tidied up or whatever. So what are we going to reign over? I don't know. But you know, this is a vast universe, and there may be planets we'll never get to in this world. Places all over this universe that God might be preparing us to reign over. Hey, there's Tim's planet. There's Len's planet.
I don't know.
We often think about just being on a cloud forever. Maybe there's some of that too. But we're going to reign forever and ever. Whatever that is, right? I don't know. But I think it's going to be a whole lot cooler, a whole lot more important, and a whole lot more amazing than we realize. We'll be with God. We'll be with those we love. We'll be right in the place that God has prepared for us. And we'll fit perfectly in our heavenly places, uniquely prepared for us, and by the way, us prepared for it. The Father's house has many rooms. Many rooms. In the Greek, you see it in the King James, it says many mansions, many rooms. In the Greek, it means many dwelling places. The idea is a permanent dwelling. It's not like a hotel room. It's like home. The Father's house is home. It's our ultimate and eternal home. And Jesus is making great preparations. So if it took God, you know, how many days to create the world, and he's been making preparations for heaven, how great could heaven be, right? It's like he's making great preparations. Text says, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. New heavens and the new earth will be amazing. And Jesus is preparing heavenly homes for us, dwelling places, uniquely suited for us. But there's another type of preparation is... He's creating a place where we reign, a dwelling place that is home. But that's out there. He's also working here, right? Right here. Making preparations in us. Out there, yes, but in here as well. Our narrative kind of makes it a little clearer. You look at John 13. The text that immediately precedes the text that we just read, verses 36 to 37. Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus replied, where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I'll lay down my life for you. But Jesus' answer was, I go to prepare a place for you. Preparing a place for Peter, for Ron, for Lynn, for me. But he's also preparing a place in us so that we fit where we're going. So he's preparing us by his cross. He's preparing us by experiences we have in this life. He's preparing us by his Holy Spirit as we grow. And the God who creates a new heaven and a new earth creates a new nature in us. Because I want to tell you, when I get to heaven and you get there and you see me, you're going to say, oh my, Randy's looking mighty fine. And I'll say, oh my, Melanie's looking mighty fine. Because God's doing a work in us, and all the little pieces that are out of place, all those things that aren't right, will be repaired. Will be made new, and we will become the persons that God intended for us to be in the first place. So we're being prepared as we turn from our sins. We're being prepared as the Holy Spirit is teaching us things. And God is preparing a place so that a prepared you and me can be in a prepared place, which is just right for us. And so we can live in absolute confidence and anticipation, not in anxiety, not in weariness, not in worry, not in dread, but in a calm peace. 1 John 5, 11-13 affirms, this is one of the first texts I encourage new believers to memorize. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. It's not something we will receive. It's something we have already received in Christ. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have a life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may kind of have a kind of amorphous hope. Or so you might kind of sort of believe. No? What's it say? So that you may know, so that you may know you have eternal life. So that you may know it, know it. It's a very strong Greek word. It's like knowing something experientially. Like you know a husband or a wife, to know, to experience. It's not some little pipe dream that we hope for. It is a reality that we know within us. Because we know that God's word is true. We know that Jesus has said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." We know that God has prepared a place in Christ for us in glory, and He's preparing us for that place. We know. So if you die today, tomorrow, 10 years from now, it does not matter. When you know that you have eternal life, know it. And heaven is our eternal home. John Burke, in his excellent book, Imagine Heaven, I really enjoyed that book. For those of you who are looking for a book to kind of make you think, it's a book about people who had near-death experiences. It put it together really well. I really liked it. It was just encouraging. But he records the word of a woman named Crystal who had a near-death experience. And these are Crystal's actual words of what she experienced. She says, "The hardest thing for me is finding the words to fully describe what I experienced in heaven. Because there are no human words that even come close. I grasp at words like beautiful and brilliant and amazing, but they're wildly inadequate. What I experienced in heaven was so real and so lucid and so utterly intense, it made my experiences on earth seem hazy and out of focus, as if the reality and life as we know it is just a dream. It was a feeling of absolute purity and perfection, of something completely unblemished and unbroken, and being immersed in it filled me with a kind of peace and assurance I'd never known on earth, never. And it was like being bathed in love. It was a brightness. I didn't just see it, but I felt it. And it felt familiar, like something I remembered or even recognized." The best way to put it is this: I was home. Listen again to the words of our text. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Home. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.